The Midrash tells us in Bamidbar Rabbah in Matos Parsha Chaf Beis. So the Midrash tells us, Shana Rabbosenu, our Rabbanan, our rabbis have taught, Shnei Chachamim Amdu Ba'olam. There were two Chachamim, there were two wise men that stood in the world, Echad Yisrael Ve'echad Me'umos Ha'olam. One among Klal Yisrael and one among the Gentile nations. Achitophel Yisrael Bilam Me'umos Ha'olam. Achitophel from Klal Yisrael and Bilam from the nations of the world. Ushneim Ne'abdu Min Ha'olam. And two of them were destroyed, were eradicated, annihilated. Chen Shnei Giborim Amdu Ba'olam. And as well, there were two Giborim, two strong men who rose up in the world, Echad Yisrael Ve'echad Me'umos Ha'olam, one among Klal Yisrael and one among the nations of the world, Shimshon Yisrael Ve'Golios Me'umos Ha'olam, Shnei Ne'edum and Ha'olam, and they as well were eradicated from the world. V'chein Shnei Ashirim Amdu Ba'olam, there were two wealthy men who came into the world, Echad Yisrael Ve'echad Me'umos Ha'olam, one among Klal Yisrael and one among the nations of the world, Korach from Yisrael, Korach from Klal Yisrael, the Haman Me'umos Ha'olam, and Haman from the nations of the world. Ushneim Ne'abdu Min Ha'olam, and both of them were Ne'abdu Min Ha'olam, they were eradicated from the world. Lama, why were all these people Ne'abdu, why were they all eradicated from the world, whether Tzadikim or Rishayim? Shelo Hoya Matnason Min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because their matanos, their gifts, were not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather Chotvin Osolehem, rather they snatched it, Lahem for themselves. A very fascinating medrash that I want to give a little insight into, a little clarity. In other words, what does that mean, Chotvin Osolehem, that they snatched it for themselves? Okay, does that mean that they took something that wasn't theirs? Isn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu the one who gives? Who is able to take something that doesn't belong to them if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want them to have it? And yet, the reason why all of these people were destroyed from the world is because their gifts weren't theirs. They snatched it. Chotvin Osolahem, they took it for themselves. The idea of taking it for themselves and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving it to them is a very difficult idea to suggest. So tonight, our first question, I want to be able to delve, to try to understand what exactly this Medrash means. In the first of the Parshios that we're going to read, the Shabbos and Parshios Matos, so the Torah tells us, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, that Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael, Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael, Me'ez ha-midyonim, go and avenge b'nei Yisrael at the hands of the Midianites, Achar ta'asef el amecha, and following that battle that you'll wage against the Midianim, it's at that point that you will be gathered to your people, and you will die. The Medrash tells us as well, the Bamidbar Rabbah, in the same Perek, Chaf Beis, though a little bit earlier, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ilu Hoya Rotze Moshe L'chayos Kamashanim, if Moshe wanted to live more years, Hoya Chai, he could have lived. She'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, avenge the honor of B'nai Yisrael, and then you will die. Tole HaKosov Misaso B'midyan. His death, says the Psukim, his death was dependent upon the Misa, the death of Midyan. Elo Diachos Shivcho Shel Moshe. It's coming to tell us the Shevach, the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar, he said, B'shvil Shechia Yaakev Nikmas Yisrael. Because I want to live, I'm not going to avenge the honor of Klal Yisrael. Miyad nidaber Moshe el ha'am. At that moment, Moshe got up and spoke to the people. Leimor, echaltum eichem, anoshim latzava. Let's go and gather people to fight. And the Medrash continues. About Yoshua lo asache. Yoshua was not like Moshe Rabbeinu. When Yoshua came to do battle with the 31 kings, Amar, he said, "Im ani hargam, if I will kill them, miyad ani meis, immediately I will die." Kishem she'ira leMoshe Rabbeinu, just like what had happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did he do? Hischil be'echad, he began with one, u'ma'akev b'melchamtan, and he delayed the war, the battle. As it says, Yamim Rabim Asa Yoshua es kolam melachim ha'ele milchama. That it took many days that Yoshua went and spent on this war. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Yoshua and says, V'kach asisa. This is what you're going to do? Hareini mikatzer shnosecha eser shanim. I'm going to shorten your life by 10 years. Asks Arlev Shtayman in his Sefer Ayelas HaShachar, Ulechora, lama hu nanash? Why was he punished? Hare lo nitzaveh mufurash? He wasn't commanded explicitly to conquer miyad immediately. Ela demitzad's reason makdimin. Only because there's an idea that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells you to do something, or mentions an idea, there's an idea of acting with alacrity, with zrizus. Zrizin makdimin lemitzvah, vayashkem Avraham baboker. So from that concept, from that standpoint, hayatzarech lichvosh miyad, he should have conquered immediately. Uma ha'avla b'zeh sheratzu laharech zimichayev. So what's so terrible that he wanted to prolong his life? Don't we say v'chai b'hem? Don't we believe in life? We try to do whatever we can to ensure that we live longer, a long life. V'harei mechalim Shabbos afil lahatzolas chayisha. One is even allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save a life. U'befrat, and specifically Shiva Emes, klal Yisrael hutzruchu shemanhigam Yichya Yoser, Klal Yisrael needed a manhig, a leader, to live longer. Yoshua didn't act with his own personal interest. He didn't want to live just for the sake of living. He lived. He wanted to live in order to lead Klal Yisrael. V'chozman shehoya chai lo chotu. All the while that he was alive, Klal Yisrael didn't sin. The Kivan Shakarish Baruch Hu Higbilo Matayich Shiyichbosh, and since Hakadosh Baruch Hu didn't specify when he should conquer all 31 kings, Lama Osirlo Lichbosh Laat asks Rav Aaron Leib Shtayman, why was it forbidden for him to conquer them Laat slowly? And that's our second question for tonight. We understand that Moshe Rabbeinu acted with alacrity. Zerizin Makdimin LeMitzvah. But is everyone held to the standard of Moshe Rabbeinu? If we were all held to that standard, we couldn't survive. We wouldn't be able to live. We wouldn't be able to function as a society. Including Yehoshua. Can't be possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would compare Yehoshua to Moshe Rabbeinu, however great Yehoshua was. And yet, he was punished. His life was shortened by 10 years because he didn't act with the same enthusiasm and he didn't have the same mindset as Moshe Rabbeinu. Why was he punished to the point where he had his life shortened by 10 years. And our third and final question is, we know that this week's parsha teaches us the mitzvah, or the parsha of Nedarim, Shavuos, taking an oath or a vow. We learn that our words have tremendous significance. We could create an entirely new reality based upon our dibur. But that only is applicable to a reality that doesn't exist. Something that's mutter to make it asur. Or something that wasn't shayach, now it's applicable to me. But something that already exists, that the Torah already mandates, already commands us to fulfill, seemingly, a neder or a shvua is superfluous. It's irrelevant. It doesn't create or bind me. And yet, the Gemara in Nedarim Daf Ches tells us, Amar Rav Gidel, Amar Rav Nachman, Minayin Shenishboyim. Where do we know that if a person makes a shvua lekayim es hamitzvah, Shenamar Nishpati v'akaymena, I make the shvua and I will fulfill lishmor mishpati sikecha. Asks the Gemara v'halo mushba v'obed mihar sinayu. But isn't it something that was already enacted and that oath was taken already at Har Sinai? So says the Gemara, kimashmalon, d'shari le'inish l'zruzei nashe. A person is allowed to take this oath even though it already is mushba ve'omei mihar Sinai. He's allowed to take this oath in order to create more of a desire. Again, this idea of lighting a fire under this person to ensure that he does and is mekayim this mitzvah. He should be mekayim the mitzvah by zrizus. Asks the Stipler Gaon in his Sefer Birchas Peretz. The Stipler was Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, the illustrious father of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who just passed away. L'chora temua. It's very difficult to understand that we're going to allow him to make an oath. Again, an oath is a very serious thing. The shvua already was chal, it already had an effect, and it already was effective to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. The shvua doesn't have any bearing, it has no significance. Ezos ruze nafshe ika b'shvuzu. How does it help? What is it accomplishing? Ezos ruze nafshe ika b'shvuzu asks the Stipler, does it really do anything? If anything, perhaps he is or taking shvua on something that already existed at Har Sinai? So I want to share with you the words of the Stipler. He says that human beings are very fickle. And human beings have an unbelievable, almost uncanny ability to create and distort reality. V'yesh lefarish al pi hayadua shechotei ha'adam. Majority of man's sin and the sins that he does, it's man coming and paskening, determining that that which is usur is actually mutter, that which is forbidden is actually acceptable, it's permitted. Kibedavar shehu nogea hashochad yaver es enav. something that is personal to him. It's no, he has his own negios, he has his own agenda. So he's blinded, he's bribed. Lomar to say al ra tov, on that which is bad is good, and vice versa. Ulafizad, therefore, says the cycle. Shapir hoel tuba bishvuazu. It's perfectly acceptable, this type of shvua, this type of oath, shahare bishvuazo stam, that a shvua, an oath, sasam es haderech lehoraz heter la'atma. It closes the path, the way, for him to be mora heter, for him to suggest that something is mutter, is permitted, when it's actually forbidden. Right? If his heart is telling him that it's permitted, according to him, the Torah says that it's aser. According to him, he says that it's mutter. So, now he's making a shvua to just recalibrate his thought to the thinking and to the machshava of the Torah. It says the stipler, it's a win-win situation. The only thing that can come out of this is something good. Because a person has an unbelievable ability to distort the MS so that the Torah fits in to his reality. Now, if we're willing and we're able to distort HaKadosh Baruch Hu's truth, how much more so is a person willing or able to distort the reality of a Rebbe? In other words, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Nishom. You have the words of the Rebbe, and you have the words of the Talmud. Who do you listen to? You listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the Rebbe, and the Talmud is everyone else. We listen to Hashem. And then you have the words of the Rebbe in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu. You have the words of the Talmud. You have Yoshua. Divrei Mishomim, who do you listen to? Seemingly, you're also supposed to listen to the Rebbe referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Mora Rabbah Kemore Shemayim. A person has to fear his Rebbe like he fears Hashem. The Torah tells us what's mutter and what's asur. When Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, the Torah told us this is what's permitted and this is what's not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that people are able to distort reality, and therefore they're going to distort the Torah. And therefore a shvua on something that already is given in the Torah is permitted, because what it does is it takes all of the personal negios, the agenda, and it aligns this person's thought process of the Torah. But that same approach of being able to throw one's agenda to the side has to be in place when interacting with a Rebbe. Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud, Nishomim. Yoshua's whole godless, Yoshua being chosen as the preeminent leader of Klal Yisrael after the death of Moshe Chazak Be'amat, was because, as the Pasuk says, Ish Asher Ruach Bo. This is a man that the spirit of Hashem is within him. Yoshua was the one that the Torah is made lo yomosh sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha. Yoshua was the one that never left his Rebbe. Yoshua's whole chiyus, his whole existence, and the reason why he was a leader to begin with. And it wasn't given to Moshe Rabbeinu's children or to others. It's because the Talmud is supposed to be melaved the Rebbe. The Talmud is supposed to escort the Rebbe. As Yoshua escorted the Rebbe to Har Sinai. And there's tremendous significance in that idea. That the Rebbe goes up to Har Sinai, and the Rebbe's Torah is Mi Sinai. And the Talmud waits below, waiting to hear the Torah from the Rebbe, which is tantamount, which is analogous to Torah Misinai. Shehaya Talmud Melavi L'Rav Ad Mokom Hagbolas Tchumei Ahar. That the Talmud escorts the Rebbe until the place where he can no longer go. She'en Rosh Leilich. He can't go beyond that place. Yoshua was not able to go beyond where Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to go. He had to stay by the foot of the mountain. And then Vayal Moshe Levado. Moshe went himself El Har Elokim. What that means is that Yoshua did not have the right nor the ability to dictate or to deviate from Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu's Mahalech HaChayim. If he's a manhig, if he's a leader, he had to copy exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. And his leadership was informed by Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership. And therefore, if Moshe Rabbeinu came and he said, "Bishvil she'echia ya'akev nikmas Yisrael," so I should live. I'm going to hold back and avenge the honor of Klal Yisrael. Miyad nidaber Moshe el ha'am. Immediately Moshe came, and he spoke to the nation. For sure, Klal Yisrael would have been better off if they had Moshe Rabbeinu as their leader. But that was not the cheshbon of Moshe Rabbeinu. And because of that, Yehoshua was punished. His days as being the leader of Klal Yisrael were diminished. And perhaps 10 years corresponds to the Aseres Adibros that Moshe Rabbeinu received on the mountain and ultimately transmitted to Yehoshua, who transmitted it to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Torah allows us to make a shvuah on something that was given at Har Sinai. Because man has the ability to separate. Just as man should not separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah, man or Talmud can't separate from his Rebbe, who's analogous to that Torah that was transmitted and given at Har Sinai. And if the Talmud deviates, if the Talmud can't be a manhid like his Rebbe was. And I think that that's the idea of the Medrash. The Medrash is talking about people that did things that weren't given to them by Hashem. They deviated from God's intent. Now, this is a world where everyone has a choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows people to do things that they aren't necessarily, or to take things that aren't necessarily deserving. But they were punished because they didn't accept the hierarchy. They didn't accept that they are pawns in the world of Hashem. And whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you is what you are supposed to accept and take. And if not, you're chotvin, you're snatching that which doesn't belong to you. Yeshua took that which did not belong to him. That wasn't his job. His job was to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. And don't deviate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his infinite wisdom knows that someone's even willing to deviate from the Torah. And therefore you can make a shmua on something which already was chal, which already was effected at Har Sinai. Now interesting. That lashon of chotvin, to snatch, that's the same lashon that's used by the Afikom. Mitzvot asei shel Torah, it's a positive commandment. I'm reading in the Rambam, but the Shulchan Aruch uses this lashon. Mitzvot asei shel Torah lesaber benisim beniflos. The positive commandment to talk about the wonders, the stories that happened to our fathers in Mitzrayim. Mitzvah lo'odia labonim, it's a mitzvah to tell your children, afilu lo shalu, and even if they can't ask, the vidaito shall bend depending upon the intellect of a son, ovid melamdo, a father teaches. Ketzad, so how does he do this? So if his son is a tipesh or a katan, he says, Kulanu hayin avadim, we were all avadim. Vimhaya haben gadol v'chacha, he's a gadol or chacha. So modiyo mashiralanu. So we inform him what happened in Mitzrayim. The nisim shenasu lana ide Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the Rambam continues, v'tzarech la'asos shinoi b'layla hazeh. You need to do a shinoi, you need to make some type of deviation in this night, that they should see the Yishalu, and they should ask, Vayomer, why is this night different than all of the nights? Ache Yashiv Lahem, but you respond, Vayomer, Kak, the Kak, Ira. This is what happened. The Ketzad Mishana, so how do we deviate tonight? So we give them nuts, and we are okay, we have brought the Shulchan before them. The Chotvin Matzah Zem Yadzeh. We snatch the matzah, one from the other. And through that, you begin to ask questions. So we see that the lashon of chotvin is an expression that's used in connection to a hierarchy, that the son comes and is supposed to ask the father a question. And that's done through snatching. Here, when there's a break in the hierarchy, they snatched that which did not belong to them. Ultimately, that was the demise of all of these people. The human mind has a tremendous way of distorting reality. Which is why the Stifer says that making a shvu on something which is already chal by Har Sinai is permitted. Even the greatest of all, Yehoshua, deviated from the words of his Rebbe. He did something different than what his Rebbe had done. You know, it's an unbelievable thing. In the Brisker Yeshivos, the Brisker Rav, his grandchildren, or his children, they say over the Torah of the Brisker Rav. Every year, the cycle, they do six or seven mesechtos, it's the same Torah over and over again. None of the students or the children of the Brisker Rav say any of their own svaras. They say nothing different than the Brisker Rav. And if somebody asks a question, they're not going to say their own svara. They're going to say, I didn't hear my father speak about it, and therefore I can't comment. That's a Talmud. Talmud is someone who doesn't deviate or say something different than his Rebbe. And because Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, we have to avenge their honor immediately, and Yeshua didn't, Kadosh Baruch Hu punished him. And that's Pshat Chot Ben Osalem. You're snatching. You're taking away the hierarchy. You're not doing what the world had intended, where there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we are his pawns in this world. You can't take the that which doesn't belong to you. You can't dictate the terms. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates the terms, or the Rebbe dictates the terms, and that has to inform the world and humanity, specifically the Frat, the Talmidim.